Welcome to the Red Phone Zone. I am your host, Aaron. And oh my God, it is Ethan sitting right there.
I do exist.
You do exist. So this is issue number 58, because the real 58 we're going to jettison, and it didn't actually happen. Trust me.
Okay.
But yeah, yes. We're on issue number 58, right? What is the red phone, Ethan?
What is the red? It is a phone that is red that is sitting right
Yeah,
over
but
here.
Why is the show called the Red Phone Zone? Do you know that? Or
oh, yes, I know why it's called the Red Phone Zone. It's because that's the color of the Commissioner Gordon's phone.
Very good.
That Batman would call.
And that is the truth, and that is something that has been true since I made up the name for the damn show, and I don't think we've actually mentioned it on the show before.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But one thing that has been very consistent throughout this show is Batman.
Oh, yeah.
We've been talking all kinds of Batman for a long time. First ever show we did kind of a bastardized...
That wasn't a real show. I wasn't on it.
The fake show that we ever did was...
I wasn't on it, so it wasn't real.
Is going to be a kind of bastardized version of what we're doing tonight, which is what we're doing is we're going to be talking the Batman films as a film genre, and we're going to be throwing out our top six list of our favorites of those. But we're going to make it interesting, because tonight we have Mr. Vin Roberts. Say hello, Vin.
How's it going, guys?
Well, I'm all right.
Hey, he didn't fall for it that time like all the other guests.
Yeah, he didn't. That's awesome. He didn't say, you know, hello, Vin. Ha, ha, ha. I'm fine. But yeah, I ran into Vin via Batman-news.com, and
sent out the Vin signal, and
here he is. Something that I didn't have the foresight to think about, but Vin pointed out to me right now tonight, July 20th, 2011, is 1 year to the date of the release of The Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think that's us being clever and, you know, having a theme. No, just coincidence. But Vin pointed it out. Thank you for that, Vin.
Well, you know, he is the guy who's supposed to be up on all the Batman news.
Yeah,
so, you know.
not so much us. You know, I have the Batman belt, and I think that makes me the awesomest Batman fan ever.
That is true.
But before we get into all this Batman talk, I guess we need to do a little bit of geekly happenings. And it's been a couple of weeks, and there's been some stuff happen.
Some stuff, yeah.
So
I whittled my big stack down a
bit. I'm sure you did. Because it's been like a month since we've done this or something like that.
Well, you know, I was doing CantCon, and then I got sick.
I had to go to Arizona.
You had to go to Arizona, so yeah. I got the lovely con cred, and now I'm doing totally awesome. Incidentally, played in a game based on Inception at CantCon.
Oh yeah,
that was tons of fun. Actually, it was using an existing game system called Dread, which is diceless. It actually, the mechanic is a Jenga tower. So if you want to do something, you have to pull a block out of the Jenga tower, and there were three towers as we went deeper into the dream. It's actually pretty cool.
Not quite related, but Inception related and Dark Knight Rises related. I watched Bronson the other day.
Uh-huh.
The thing that what's his nuts, Tom Hardy, kind of got a start in. It's insane. You should check it out. It's on Netflix.
All right.
Yeah, he's really good. Really big. Really big.
That's
and mean.
Funny to say that, because I actually have that on Netflix just now.
Yeah,
nice.
It's good.
Isn't it?
Have you watched it?
Not yet. I haven't gotten a chance to.
I can see that dude playing Bane based off of that performance.
Well, I guess, speaking of Netflix, announced their price hikes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's happening? I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, they're actually splitting their DVD and their streaming service into two separate things. So essentially, you're having to pay for them each separately. So, like, what I was on was two DVDs at a time plus unlimited streaming. It was going to go up to about $20 a month with taxes and all that.
Wow.
And my budget's tight, so I just took it all back and went straight to a streaming service.
Sure.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of people are sort of going all crazy about it, but really Netflix wants to stop doing DVDs.
I don't blame them.
That's pretty much where they're at.
I don't blame them. I'm not sure the postage is killing them.
Oh yeah. But their streaming service is still accounting for a ridiculous amount of bandwidth on the internet, so.
Yeah. It's
Netflix
streaming changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
Probably in a bad way, but I'm happy with it.
That's debatable, yes.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just going to start at the top here. The big news is Ghost House Pictures is going to remake The Evil Dead.
Yep.
Sam Raimi and original producing partners Rob Tappert and Bruce Campbell are gearing up to remake their cult sensation Evil Dead through their long-standing Ghost House Pictures partnership. Raimi and Tappert were such instant fans of Fede Alvarez's short film Panic Attack that they set up a blind deal with the filmmaker, and through that process have attached Fede Alvarez to write and direct the film. So Alvarez wrote the script with Rodo Sayaguez, excuse me, Academy Award-winning screenwriter Diablo Cody is currently doing revisions on the draft. Ghost House is committed to renewing the franchise and has a film on has the film on fast track. And Raimi, Tappert, and Campbell will serve as producers.
So we're going to have another Ash?
Yes.
Fuck that movie.
Well, you know, if they cast Nathan Fillion, I'll be happy.
No, that might be okay.
Yeah.
Is that a rumor or is that just an Ethanism?
No, it's just an Ethanism.
I don't see the point. I mean, Ash is Bruce fucking Campbell.
He is Bruce fucking Campbell, yeah. And I'm afraid if they remake it, they're going to turn it into, like, Hostel 3 or something, you know?
And in 3D.
So, yeah. So, yeah, I heard this news was with and sort of took it with very mixed response.
Well, it's cool that Raimi and Tappert and Campbell are attached, but I just don't care to see Ash re-envisioned by someone else. Nathan Fillion could do it okay.
Yeah, he's a cheesy, funny guy.
Yeah,
so,
he can be.
He could do it. Well, I don't know. I don't know if anyone can actually replace Bruce as King of Pain Ash, you know. So
I know very well that they can't. Have you seen those films, Vin?
I have not, actually.
Ooh.
That's because he's a youngster.
He is a youngster. You should you should absolutely check all those movies
out. They have this thing out there. It's called DVD, and they DVD, are on there. Yes.
They're all great films. And the first one, it's horribly, wonderfully bad.
The first one was supposed to be a serious horror movie, and it fails, so it's funny.
And then
the second one
shows the genius of Sam Raimi.
Yes. The second one is funny to watch because it's sort of a remake, sort of a sequel.
It's more of a thumbing the nose at the first one. It's just absolutely making fun of the first one. And then the third one, The Army of Darkness, is just a wonderful...
Let's just go over the top, have fun.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
I mean, you got
a dude with a chainsaw for a hand.
Yeah,
I mean,
you got Ray Harryhausen like skeletons doing three Stooges shit. I mean, they're great movies.
They're fun
in that way. I mean, they're no Citizen Kane, but you know, they're good movies. They're good movies.
I will have to Netflix this.
Yeah, you should.
Oh yes,
very good.
Some other news is Johnny Depp is Disney and Johnny Depp's Infinitum Nihil are teaming up to create a new version of the 1972 ABC telepic The Night Stalker that was written by Richard Matheson and starred Darren McGavin. Yes, as Kolchak, the rumpled tabloid journalist who was relentless in his pursuit of various supernatural horror movie phenomena. Deadline Hollywood reports that it was Depp and his Infinitum Nihil partner Christy Dombrowski. Mm-hmm. Who brought the project to Disney and got the studio to agree to develop the project with Depp attached to star in the role of Kolchak. So far, no behind-the-scenes talent for the film has been announced.
Now,
it sounds like Johnny Depp is saying, well, I'm making your studio $1 billion with this movie over here, so I want to do this.
And, you know,
anything's got to be better than that Night Stalker remake TV series that happened a couple years back.
Now, Gavin McLeod was a wonderful singular actor. Don't get me wrong.
Darren McGavin.
McGavin. Yes. Who the hell is Gavin McLeod? Darren McGavin was a wonderful actor, and Johnny Depp is also a wonderful actor. They're nothing alike at all. Mm-hmm. I could still see something good coming out of that.
Yeah.
That could be really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all going to depend on how it's produced and, who directs it.
Definitely got to capture the flavor of that original series.
Yeah, but it could be cool. I'd rather see that than the remake of Evil Dead, but, you know, that's just me.
I'd agree.
Cool.
Some brief stuff I got is The Dark Tower, which was going to be a TV series and a movie
with huge.
Ron Howard. Universal has passed on it and canceled all the productions that they had running with it. So
I think somebody else is going to grab it.
Yeah, probably. And Javier Bardem was basically signed to play the gunslinger. So,
well, I mean, they can't officially sign somebody until they actually have money.
Yeah,
you know, like in the.
I mean, it was pretty much once the movie got the green light, he was in.
Uh-huh.
As our listeners might know, we are big fans of Quentin Tarantino and his Django Unchained. Had added Kevin Costner to its lineup.
Saw that.
So Pa Kent is joining the cast. Kent. Yes.
Yeah, out of everything that he's played, we're going to grab Pa Kent from a movie that is probably going to suck that we haven't seen yet.
Well, yeah. So, well, especially since the Superman movie is apparently still going through rewrites right now.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
of course
away
it is.
From filming.
Of course it is. Are you looking forward to the Man of Steel, Vin?
Yeah, I am. Wasn't a fan of Superman Returns. I don't think many were. I am actually looking forward to it. I like Zack Snyder. I like some of his work, so it'd be interesting.
Yeah. My thing about it is it really could be good. I mean, it could be good. I like a lot of the casting stuff they did.
I mean, with Chris Nolan in there, sort of overseeing some of the aspects.
And that's the only thing that doesn't have me screaming from rooftops, this movie's going to suck. Because, I like a lot of stuff that Zack Snyder does, but he's no Christopher Nolan.
Now, did David Goyer write the script for The Man of Steel?
Yes.
Okay.
Speaking of Man of Steel, something more along your lines, did you see the whole thing about the lawsuit over the website?
No.
Yeah, somebody, I don't know who it was, and I don't care who it was, but somebody, like back in, I don't remember when, but in the past, we'll say, somebody registered manofsteel.com and .net and .eu all that stuff.
Cyber squatted.
And they cyber squatted on it, and that's exactly what they were doing, and Warner Brothers came and ripped it away from them, and big time, and it was a really ugly story.
Because
it was just a guy that was cyber squatting. Why is that illegal?
Well, a lot of people do it because of Man of Steel. Someone, when they were registering domains, it costs like $8 to do that forever.
Yeah.
And you go register manofsteel.com, .net, and all that. And then basically say, well, I'll sell it to a studio for $250,000.
No, they had to give it to them.
Yeah. Well, there's new laws now that says that you can't do this. So,
it's horseshit.
It's essentially extortion.
What? Not really.
Yes, it is.
There's nothing wrong with extortion.
Well, we're talking all this Superman stuff. Apparently, Harry Lennox has joined the Man of Steel cast.
Who's Harry Lennox?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I forgot to write down who he was, but it's okay. Superman, obviously, in the comic books and is going through a big revision with the new reboot, the whole Flashpoint thing at DC. Superman and Lois Lane aren't going to be married anymore. Superman's going to be focusing more on his Kryptonian heritage. Apparently, his costume is going to change to a battle suit at some point.
Fantastic.
And I got to say that I think this is all stemming from the big lawsuit that's going on with it. So, I mean, they've got to do something to change his look that is not going to sit well with fans, but the problem is they got to do it. So that'll be interesting to see what happens with there. And David Goyer, who's written the Man of Steel script, I believe, has also been tapped to write a new script for Godzilla.
Godzilla. Why?
Why? Because they're making a Godzilla movie.
I think that's probably my real question. Why are they doing that? Did they not learn with the Matthew Broderick one?
Apparently not. Apparently not. And the last little bit.
David S. Goyer wrote it.
Yeah. And the last bit of brief news I've got is, Lawrence Fishburne is leaving CSI at the end of this season. Mm-hmm. He is being replaced by Ted Danson.
I knew that. I saw that. What's-his-face joining The Office? Have we talked that yet?
James Spader?
Yeah.
That's joining The Office.
Awesome.
He is not replacing, he's not replacing Michael Scott. They still haven't announced
who's cool.
They're keeping that under wraps until the first episode, but. James Spader, if you saw the last episode of the season, James Spader is playing that character, but he's actually going to be the new CEO of Dunder Mifflin. So he's going to turn around and buy the company.
Awesome.
So that'll be amusing, yes.
But he's actually joined like the cast.
Yes.
I mean, it's not just like a guest appearance.
Yes. Thing. And we got a fuck ton of trailers that came out within the last couple weeks.
We do.
We'll do the obvious one last. Nice segue. But we got the Amazing Spider-Man trailer just yesterday.
Today officially, but I watched it a couple of days ago. But it looks like a Spider-Man trailer.
The only thing I can think of while I'm watching this thing is, yes, I'm going to see the movie, but there's going to be people out there going, well, didn't we see this movie like 6 years ago or
that was me
ago,
too.
Or, you know,
and I watched the trailer a couple of times. I've got and. In the times that I've seen it, two things jump out in my head for me. They're actually talking about his parents, which is a plus for me.
That is a plus for me too.
And I like the mechanical web shooters. I don't know why. I was in no way, shape, or form saying that I think that the organic ones were a problem. I just like the idea of the.
I mean, we were talking message board, horrors, and when they Spider-Man came out, was everyone's like want to skull fuck Sam Raimi to death because of that. But it's like, okay, guys, chill out.
Now, I know you saw it, Ben, because I think it was you that threw up the link first. What do you think of it?
I'm actually a huge fan of it. I know it's really too soon, but, hey, if they have a good story, why not?
It looks
really good.
I agree. I mean, if it's a good story, I mean, it looks solid so far.
And, I agree with that.
But I just think there's going to be some people out there that are just going to be a little confused.
Sure. But yeah. I just don't, and I can just sound like an ignorant idiot here, but I just do not see them remaking the first one this soon. Yeah. And it doesn't look exactly like a reboot because it looks like they're changing some stuff with at least the way that he gets bit by the spider and the transformation. Mm-hmm. I kind of liked the Spidey POV web swinging, but I would have loved for them not to have shown him at all in the trailer if they're just going to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just me. I think that, what's his, Garfield is going to play, I think he'll play a great Spider-Man. Probably greater than Maguire,
I really hope they do focus a bit more on his high school years.
Yeah, you know, it looks like they might.
We'll see how that works with the. I mean, Garfield's what, 28, something like that.
Something like that.
So we'll see. We'll see. We also got trailers for The Thing, which is the prequel to John Carpenter's The Thing, and it looks like The Thing, but just a. So I'm like going, okay, so you watch this movie, and then you go watch the other one, and why? But okay.
1983, so that would be, almost 28. Mm-hmm. August 20th. Hell, it's today's birthday? No, today's not August. Today's So his birthday's a month from today.
Also got the teaser trailer, or trailer really, for Pixar's first live-action movie, John Carter, which is John Carter of Mars.
That looks good.
It does.
I thought that looks good.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, they got to get some good pulp, space, mm-hmm. space fantasy pulp in there, and that should be a lot of fun. Although I can't help but think that it might have been better if it was just an animated thing. But, we'll see what Pixar put out for a live-action movie.
I have as much trust in Pixar as I do in Christopher Nolan.
That's true.
So,
let's see. The Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows trailer looks entertaining like the first one to me.
Me too.
I'll check it out. I almost would prefer Brad Pitt as a... Moriarty, honestly, but
I don't believe that shit for a second. Honestly,
well, no, he's not.
No. I don't believe for a second it's going to be Stephen Fry, or Stephen.
Stephen Fry.
What's his name?
He was on Fringe.
Yeah.
I can't remember the guy's name either. But yes,
that guy. I don't believe it.
They could pull that. That'd be nice.
You know. And, but
it looks like and I love the first one. The first one's a lot of fun. I think this one will probably be Jared
Harris.
More of the same. Jared Harris. Yes. This one will probably be a lot more of the same, really.
I was telling Ethan before we started the show that I ran into this trailer the exact same day that I watched the BBC series Sherlock, and with Benedict Cumberbatch,
And Bilbo Baggins.
Bilbo Baggins, yep. Martin Freeman.
Martin Freeman,
yeah. And I fell in love with that show. I mean, it's my favorite.
They filmed three more
episodes. Yeah, I know. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I almost
come out till next year, though.
That is easily my favorite iteration of Sherlock Holmes, and I loved the first movie. Mm-hmm. And watching that show made me like that first movie less, and it made this just seem like a cartoon. And that sucks, but I'll see it because I love Sherlock Holmes, and I like anything I can get of him.
So. Oh yeah. And then the other one before we get into the obvious is we got the trailer for the Batman Year One.
Yeah.
The new DC animated Batman outing, I suppose. And fuck, it looks awesome.
Well, duh.
So, yeah.
Batman Year One's fucking awesome. It was really short.
Yes, it was.
It was really short, the trailer.
Yeah.
But, you know, it showed the style. They're going to pull it off well, from what I can tell. I mean.
Generally, the DC animated stuff is, hits the nail on the head for me. But
what's ever been bad that they've done? Nothing.
They've done a few that I just haven't enjoyed as much. Mm-hmm. A few here and there. I mean, we'll probably get into a few of them when we're
talking.
You
heard the Guy Ritchie's making a Sergeant Rock movie, right?
No, I did not hear
that. Yeah. That's going to rock. Pun intended.
Yeah. Who should play Sergeant Rock?
The Rock?
Oh, there we go.
We'll just get
along. He's Roadblock now. So.
Sure. I don't know. I mean, I'm not even going to go there at this point. But, yeah, I'd love to see that. Yeah.
And, of course.
What's the obvious one, Ethan?
The obvious one is we got the teaser for Dark Knight Rises. It was attached to Harry Potter 8.
Yeah, which rocked.
Or
7.5, whatever. My thoughts on the teaser, I loved all the new stuff in it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I loved it. I mean, that scene with at the very end with Bane walking out and Batman saying, holy shit, and backing off. I'm just like, right on. That scene, I don't know who the hell it was, but it looked like Bane crawling up the well. That was cool.
Yeah.
I damn near jizzed myself when I saw the poster. Uh-huh. I love that poster. And then seeing it live action in the trailer was just fantastic. Oh,
yeah. It's very subtle, too. Very subtle. If you're not looking for it, you don't see it in the theaters at all.
Oh, but... And there's about... And the whole speech with Gary Oldman in the hospital bed, I've heard that criticized, and I don't understand why.
Yeah.
it sounds like...
It's Gary Oldman, man.
Yeah, I mean... I don't
possibly get, to be Gary fucking Oldman. Who knows, but...
You know, to me, the criticism is that it's cheesy. And how is that any more cheesy than the, he's the hero we need, not that we deserve. He's right. Our Dark Knight. I mean, that's cheesy as shit, but it's awesome. And it just, it struck me in the same vein as that.
Sure.
But yeah, unfortunately, it's just like I said, I love the 4 seconds of new stuff we got in the trailer because most of it was rehashes
I'm
from the first
ones. Eating
up
everything we're getting early on this movie best I can.
Me too.
It's really a teaser, though.
Yeah, and did that trailer live up to what it is? It's a teaser.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I want more?
It's like the teaser for Dark Knight. It was like a teaser for Batman Begins. You know, I mean,
the teaser for Dark Knight was probably a little bit better because how bad did you want to see the Joker in that trailer, and you didn't fucking get to, and you made you want to punch Christopher Nolan in the nuts and then hug him.
But then you didn't want to do it because then he might not be able to finish the movie, and so you're like, I'm going to go punch this guy
now,
in the nuts.
Then am I understanding it right that you're going to go be an extra for this?
Yes, I am. It's a little, I have no idea what's going on. I just know it's going to be nothing too crazy, but it's going to be in Pittsburgh. Really looking forward to it. I'm really excited about it, you know, just to even be on the set.
Yeah.
I know a friend of mine is actually coming up to do it too as well, so it's going to be fun. I'm not really getting my hopes up on seeing myself on the screen.
Yeah.
But just being on the set, it's going to be interesting. I said, you know, it's an opportunity to do something, so why not?
Yeah, I know. If you run into Christian Bale, tell him that Aaron from the Red Phone Zone says, I loved it when he yelled at that light guy on the Terminator. Because that movie sucked and the lighting was even worse.
I don't
worse.
Think you want to get him punched in the face, dude.
I said, tell him that Aaron, not this isn't
punched
me.
In the face,
you know, he's got my kid at home with a gun to his head or something. No, but yeah, that's awesome. I mean, it's cool because, you know, I can't wait to see it. Well, I mean, you're doing this. Is that going to get you, like, any kind of privileges to maybe see it a little bit early or something like that? No?
I got an email yesterday, and it's going to be, we're shooting the scene in August in Pittsburgh, and it said, just warm, just as if it's wintertime, you know, / fall. I was like, oh, you know, it's going to be fun. August is usually the hottest month.
Yeah,
that'll be entertaining.
Hey, yeah, you're doing it for your craft, dude. Do it. Now, that's so cool. I'm envious. I mean, I suppose I could have signed up for that thing, too, but I'm not going to drive to Pittsburgh for it. No, no way. No way.
Yeah.
Take the train. That's what I'm going to do, so.
No, that'll be cool.
Definitely not. And they're actually saying they're actually having a raffle. Two people are going to, you know, can win. And the grand prize is, you get to go to the premiere, whether it's in L.A. or New York, and you get to go to the after party.
Cool.
Nice.
So that would be excellent.
Well, I think Aaron wants to be your plus one if you get that.
Well, I'm sure he's got a long list of people before me, but, you know, hey, just don't forget the little people, dude. But before we get in, that's the whole reason we brought you in is because we're going to be talking about Batman films. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back and talk Batman films as a genre. And we are back. Yeah, we are talking Batman films as a genre. 1 year from tonight, I'm going to be sitting in a happy little theater watching The Dark Knight Rises.
As am I.
And it's going to rock, and I'm going to love it. It's going to be the greatest movie ever made. It's going to win a Nobel Peace Prize for bringing peace to the world. And it's going to literally be the first movie to, instead of 3D, it's going to be blowjob D. It's just going to come out and suck your dick and please you sexually in every way possible. And it's going to be the best movie ever made.
And they'll even make you breakfast the
next
day.
And they'll make you breakfast the next day. Mm-hmm. It's probably not going to be that good, but hopefully it's going to be really good. Because I love me some Batman films. I especially love me some Christopher Nolan Batman films.
Bat-shaped omelets.
It's also going to be the first movie to get a director nomination, to be nominated as president or whatever.
Yeah, yep.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be Christopher Nolan to become president of the United States, even though he's born in England, but he's actually he's a dual citizen. They're going to throw all that shit out because who the hell cares about Schwarzenegger? We want Christopher Nolan as president.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to, instead of the green stuff, all of our army boys are going to have bat suits, and it's going to rock. But yeah, we're talking Batman films as a film genre. Basically, I just contacted BatmanNews.com, asked them if they wanted to get somebody on this show when we talk about Batman films, and they gave us Vin. And so I guess talk to us a little bit about Batman as a genre before we actually, you know, get into our list. I mean, do you enjoy the films for the most part? Do you not? I guess, what's your history of Batman films?
I enjoy them somewhat, you know.
Yeah.
Depends. I'm a huge fan of Batman and Robin.
Sure.
I mean, it's a little bit better and darker than Batman Begins, I would say, especially the opening scene when they're getting ready.
Yeah.
no, my mother actually got me into being a huge Batman fan. When I was 2 years old when Batman 89 came out.
Yep.
But she actually she brought my two older brothers to go see it. And I guess she didn't have a babysitter back then for me at that moment. So she brought me along. Granted, I didn't know what the hell was going on. But after that, I guess she just kept showing me more Batman, and I just became a huge fan. She actually got me the, one huge gift I'll never forget was all the shows from the shorts from the 1940s, black and white.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I enjoyed the hell out of them. And then that followed up with, Batman Returns, Batman the Animated Series, and so on. But that's pretty much from then till now.
Yeah.
Dark Knight Rises, I just been a huge fan.
Now, Ethan and I are a little older than you. We were both 9 years old the summer of Batman in 1989.
Yeah.
And you could not look anywhere without seeing a goddamn bat symbol.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard stories.
There was Batmania everywhere. That movie was gigantic.
I had Batman action figures. I went and saw the movie 6 times. I remember distinctly going to see the movie with friends, and I was scared that they wouldn't let us in because it was PG-13. Now I know better, obviously. But
sure.
I remember seeing the movie 6 times in theaters, and it held the record for me until Jurassic Park came out. But for most number of seeing something in theaters. But yeah, that movie was pretty much a phenomenon in
pop
the
culture.
summer of 89. It was just, it was everywhere.
It's it's arguably the biggest pop culture.
Pizza Hut that had the
yeah, those were badass.
Yeah.
Like the lids?
Yeah.
No, it was McDonald's. It was McDonald's. Yeah. McDonald's and Pizza
McDonald's
Hut.
McDonald's also had, or was it Burger King who had the ones for Batman Returns? But it was, you could get tons and tons of stuff for everywhere for Batman, and it was just insane.
I've heard that it was bigger than, Dark Knight, actually.
Oh,
I mean,
good
even
God,
with
yes.
the viral.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty insane.
Yeah, and Batman, especially at that point, everyone was basically saying, a Batman movie. Immediately you think of the Adam West movies or the Adam West series and the movie that he did. And that's pretty much what you thought when you thought of Batman. And Tim Burton came along and did this Batman and completely revitalized what everyone sort of thought about. Oh, wait, the Batman is not, you know, campy and using bad puns all the time. It's like, no, he's Batman. And, you know, yes, well, these are for Batman Forever.
Mm-hmm.
And remember I still have some of these.
I have that one. These are McDonald's. The Riddler one.
But there were...
We're holding up the McDonald's Batman cups for Batman Forever.
Yeah,
I have the Two-Face
one. Mugs, yes, and I think I have the Riddler one at home.
I had the Riddler one, and I have that one, and I used to have the Batman one, but it got broken.
Yeah.
I only have one now. I've lost all of them. The only one I have, unfortunately, is Robin.
See, the Two-Face one is badass, because I love that one, because he's flipping the coin, and it makes the handle on the cup.
Yeah.
I love that one. It's awesome.
Yeah, and it was... Awesome, and Batman Returns came out. It was the cup toppers that they put out.
Yeah,
they were
like they doubled for frisbees.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I remember that. I totally remember that.
Yeah, so
you could occasionally get the rare Chase glow in the dark one. I had one of those.
Yeah, so did I. So
yeah,
did
those were pretty sweet. So yeah,
and it was Batmania.
I mean, I cannot think of a bigger cup. Pop culture moment in our childhood.
And I think it's amazing now we're looking around and you know you're saying you were only 2 years old when it came out, so pretty much you don't know a life without this image of Batman.
Exactly.
And even with that this image of a DC superheroes, you know, type of movie, because DC had Superman and then it petered off all the way down to Superman 4, and then they said a Batman movie, and I remember my dad's huge Batman fan.
Yep.
They announced this movie was coming out. They did the teaser. They did the trailer for it the year before. And my dad was like, "We're going opening night. I'm taking off work. We are going." You know?
I have no idea why I remember this, because I was 7 or 8 years old. But I remember the public backlash about casting Michael Keaton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was like this bullshit we've been talking about all night. It was just people
before the internet.
And that was before the internet. Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then
that.
Tim Burton put out a. Tim Burton put out a little thing of him in the Batman suit kicking ass, and everybody shut the hell up, because he was a pretty damn good Batman.
Yeah,
so,
they shot a little screen test thing, and
they put it out, and people shut up.
I remember that.
But yeah, and then we got into the Batman Returns and Forever.
And it sort of steadily went downhill from there, but...
And then 2005.
at least Batman did show us that they could do a Batman movie, and they could make Batman not... campy and sucky, and
see,
you know.
I've always had a soft spot in my head and heart for
soft
the
spot,
Adam West stuff.
Well, now I do, you know, because with age that there comes that sort of appreciation. But at the time, you know, that's not what you wanted to see.
Yeah, but when I was 9 years old, you know, Batman,
especially
was
in that era of comic books, is you did not. It was the quote unquote Iron Age of comics. You didn't want to see, you know, Batman, Biff, Pow, Wham stuff. You wanted to see Dark Knight Returns and you know, Batman brooding and kicking the crap out of people.
Yeah, I mean, and there's
been excellent book, by the way.
Very good book.
Oh,
very
yes.
good book. Frank Miller's crazy, but it's a very good book.
Yes, this is before Frank Miller went completely bonkers.
Yeah.
I mean, after all, I am the goddamn Batman.
Yeah. Wow. But yeah, and another,
the best, though.
He's up there. I mean, he wrote him so well. My personal favorite Batman story is probably Year One. I love that or Hush.
I'd be
hard
pressed
Hush.
To say what my favorite Batman comic story was.
See, when I think about it, those are the first two that popped to my mind. If I dug,
Hush is good. Dark Knight Returns is good, but I mean, there's so many good ones.
Yeah, there are.
I would really have a hard time ranking those.
And I think that we said it without actually, you know, flat out saying it, but this has also been a very varied genre.
Oh,
because
God,
you have everything. Like, you have, you know, you have your
well,
campy
take Batman, and then you immediately zip it forward 9 years and you've got Batman and Robin. How diametrically different are those
movies? And that's exactly it. And they are, but you know, we also have extremes on either side of that. So I mean, damn, this is a really fun list to make. And I think that if anybody's listened to this show and they had any respect for my opinions over the years I've been doing this, they're going to be gone, because this is a very unconventional list that I put together. So
it's not quite Batman films are not quite as varied as
James Bond.
It's
also not nearly as many,
especially since after Dark Knight Rises, it's going to get rebooted again,
and it might start sucking again.
Yeah,
which would suck.
I hope not.
I
can't think that Warner Brothers is that dumb.
Nolan's
staying on as producing.
Nolan and Thomas are staying on as producers.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They don't accidentally hire Joel Schumacher again.
Oh no, I think Warner Brothers has it in their heads that if they let Joel Schumacher touch Batman again, there will be, like, suicide bombers dressed up as Catwoman and yeah. Fat Batman, Fat Robin showing up at their doors.
Yeah, and the sea's boiling and swarms of locusts yes. and all kinds of bad
because I know Joel Schumacher has said he wants to do a director's cut of Batman Forever.
I would love to see it.
And the studio has just outward told him no.
I would love to see it. Because, goddamn it. I'm not doing it, but I don't give a, you know, screw you guys. Batman Forever is not a great movie. It's not. But it's not that fucking awful.
No.
And Batman and Robin is not a good movie. It's not a good movie at all. It's bad. And it's not, but it's also not that fucking awful.
Sure.
And it's not Joel Schumacher's fault. It's the studio's fault.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted to sell toys. They wanted to sell action figures.
Oh, yeah.
And it sucks, and they learned their lesson, and we didn't have Batman for, was it 98? So 8-9 years between, Batman and Robin.
Batman Begins came out in what?
2005.
Five, so yeah.
2005, I'm positive about that.
7 years, roughly.
And it sucked. But they learned their lesson, and I'm not one to write off Joel Schumacher, but I don't think they should let him near it again because he obviously cannot put up a fight like Christopher Nolan can and, you know, stay true to what he wants to have done with these movies. So
I remember him flat out saying that in an interview that, hey, Batman is for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he was making Batman and Robin and Batman Forever, and that's what he went for. So.
And he went for what he went for, and he did, you know, and he's even apologized for the damn movie. That's all over YouTube. His apology. It's on the Batman and Robin DVD, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel bad for the guy because it's not entirely his fault.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of his sensibilities don't mesh up well with Batman, and they should have fucking hired him. But, you know.
Yeah, you know. Well, there you go.
Let's get into
even
this
made
list,
a little
Ethan.
Fun of him. Even made a little.
Go ahead.
Fun about him on Batman the Animated Series.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Shut up, Joel. Yeah.
Whatever, Joel.
Yeah. And talking going on about the suit.
Yeah, well, yes, and he's like, and I heard that the Batmobile drives up walls. Whatever, Joel.
Yeah, shut up, Joel.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great, though. It's great. I'm dying to know your guys' list. So, Ethan, what's your number six favorite Batman film of all time?
Now, we're talking, when we put the rules down for this, it was pretty much feature length, didn't have to be in theaters, it's just Batman. Okay. Well, my number six is Batman Mystery of the Batwoman.
You know what? I didn't put that on my list, but I like it.
I sort of see that movie as the culmination of the Batman animated series because it's still firmly part of the Batman animated series. It has all the same cast and characters and all that.
Yep.
And
a lot darker.
It was so refreshing to have that one come out a little while after Batman and Robin because in this movie you had Bane. And Bane was done perfectly in this. He was voiced. Oh, God, I can't remember his name now. He was absolutely fantastic in this. And Bane comes in and is not this big hulking brute. He is a smart, intelligent. He's talking to Batman as he's trying to go through all this stuff. But the thing is, he's not even the main villain.
That is my main beef with Batman and Robin is the way they treated Bane.
Yeah. And
that's where a lot of people remember Bane from is Batman and Robin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Making stupid as he was. A lot of people are like,
Hector Elizondo.
Hector Elizondo. Yeah, Hector Elizondo, who, you know, for those of you who are
he doesn't look like anything.
But, I mean, go watch Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
And he's the, what is it, the maitre d' of the hotel?
Yeah.
That's Bane in this. And it just does it so perfectly because he's, you know, this big,
very ethnic voice, and that's what you need for Bane.
Well, that is what you need for Bane, and I mean, I keep going back to Bane in this movie. He's not the main villain, but he is this presence in it. But and the things about Mystery of the Batwoman, and this was before the Batwoman of the comics, that sort of thing. And thing is that they just did it so well. It's just such a good, intricate, fun storyline that's you know, that the animated series did so well, working on multiple levels for kids and for adults. Batman Mystery of the Batwoman just came out, and just for me, was one of the best, and I think it's definitely one of the ones people forget about for me.
I absolutely thought about it, but luckily I had no problems populating this list,
sure.
And I am very happy with the way my list came together. But yeah, no, it's wonderful, and If any of you people haven't seen it, check it the hell out. It's really, really good.
A lot of this stuff is on Instant Stream with Netflix. You could probably find it on Hulu or whatever, you know.
Actually, I think I just looked in Instant Stream, and there wasn't a whole lot of Batman stuff on there.
It comes and goes.
Yeah, it does. Now, Van, what's your number six?
Number six. Now, are we just doing the movies, or are we doing shows as well?
Animated series. Just go ahead and throw it out there. We're not going to shoot you down for anything. I mean, see, I like me personally, when I made my list, I exclude, like, I'm going to exclude, like, the animated series, because I love the animated series, but it's not a feature, you know?
And, gotcha.
You know, but I guess I wouldn't get too mad at somebody for picking Heart of Ice or something like that, or an individual show. But, like, but something like, you know, the Mystery of the Batwoman would be fine.
Gotcha. Well, I'm going to actually start. I have one show on my top six.
That's fine.
From the animated series, and that is Two-Face. The whole story with Harvey Dent.
Wonderful.
Dad Harv. I thought it was just amazing. It was dark. It just had pretty much, it just had something about it that was just, you know, it stuck with me. It was just absolutely, and a lot of people pick their favorite shows, always have something to do with Joker.
Not me.
It was just Two-Face.
Yeah, no, Two-Face was absolutely wonderful in that show.
Yep. Just how Rupert Thorne had him, you know, about the whole Big Bad Harv, and he just lost it, you know, with the interviews, and it was just great. And something I have to rewatch again, but...
Yeah, it's... we actually, we did a show, and we did our, you know, our favorite television shows of all time. And my number one favorite television show of all time was Batman the Animated Series. I mean, I love that show. If I remember right, Richard Mull from, you know, Bull from Night Court was the voice of was the voice of Two-Face, and he was awesome. I mean,
two distinct voices too for it, and
It was a very, very, very. I love that show, and there's not, and I can't think of a show off the top of my head that I don't like a lot. I mean, rather, I can't think of one that I hate, and I certainly can't really think of any that I don't even like a lot. I mean, it's just an all-around great, great, great show.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, what's your number?
Well, my number six is actually Batman. But it's actually the 1943 Batman, the serial. You know, the Lewis Wilson Batman, Douglas Croft as Dick Grayson. Man, is that politically incorrect these days. There's that wonderful line in, like, the first part of the... what's it called? The Electric Scientist or some crazy shit like that. Mm-hmm. When, you know, you have your narrator talking about how Chinatown is now empty because of a wise government took those damn slack-eyed Japs and stuck them in concentration camps. And, you know, it's pretty horrible when it comes to that kind of stuff. However, Ethan knows this, that I'm a big sucker for Genesis of things on... You know, on these lists, and I can't leave this out because this is our very first instance of the Bat Cave. The Bat Cave had not shown up in the comic books until this point, and because of this show, because of the popularity of this serial, they ended up putting the cave in the comic book from there on out, with the entrance being in the grandfather clock, and it also painted the way that Alfred was portrayed from that point forward. Before that, he was a fat, balding dude with a Cockney accent. And then now, you know, he's like, you know, he's freaking Alfred like we know him now. You know, Efren Zimbalist Jr. from the animated series is probably one of the best iterations ever, but like the proper British, balding, skinny actor, but you can somehow believe, or excuse me, a character that you can somehow believe is going to kick the crap out of you. And it's a, like I said, I mean, it's got some stuff to be pretty offensive, but it was made in 1943. And unfortunately, that kind of stuff was all over the place because, you know, we were at war with Japan and with Germany, and there's lots of that kind of thing going on. But I think it's a lot of fun to watch. A lot of people really hate it, but I like it a lot, actually. I just watched it again last night. It's not on Instant Stream, but it is on YouTube. You can watch every damn episode of that, unedited even. I was surprised about that because I do remember that there was a version of this that came out in the 80s or 90s or something in VHS, and they re-edited some of that offensive stuff to be, you know, more less offensive. And it was a blast to watch because, it to me, I always enjoy seeing where things come from. And, you know, it was really fun to watch this. So that's why I picked it as my number six. You ever seen it, Ethan?
I have, but it's been a very long time.
Man, isn't it awful but great at the same time? It's just...
I think the villain's name was Dr. Daka.
Yeah, Dr. Daka. Yeah. You know, he was offensive as Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Now, I know this is one that shows up occasionally on Instant Stream as well, but it hasn't. It's not.
But it's all on YouTube. All of it's on YouTube.
Well, yeah, it's pretty
it and the 19 so. Was it 49 Batman and Robin one as well. I mean, but yeah,
nice.
And it's a cheap ass DVD also. So I mean, I've seen it at a half price bookstore for like $5.
Yeah,
and it's a lot of fun. It's certainly a weird curiosity to check out, especially if you like. I mean, if you can look past the kind of more offensive stuff, but it's a lot of fun to watch as a Batman
fan. Sure.
So what's your number five, Ethan?
My number five is I'm still stuck in the animated universe, and it's Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
It's my number five.
Well, there you go.
I love Mask of the Phantasm.
Yeah, Batman Mask of the Phantasm was the first animated one that hit theaters in 93, I think, something
Christmas
like that.
Christmas Day.
And my God, it had blood in it. It had Whoopi in it. It had all that great stuff, you know. And
the bad guy was a girl.
And the bad guy was Warner. Whoa! Oh no! Yeah. We're 20 years.
20 years later, I think it's safe.
Yeah. And it's you know it's sort of the story. It sort of takes a lot from Batman Year One actually into it, and tells a bit about Batman's origins and whatnot. Fits into the animated series obviously, and it is. Just phenomenal. I mean, what more can you say about it? It has the Joker being awesome. It has a new villain, Phantasm, which then shows up later in the animated series. And really being attached to the animated series was pretty much fantastic.
Yeah, there's nothing that isn't good.
Yeah, and Batman Mask of the Phantasm was their first outing as a official outing, I should say, as a theatrical or feature-length type of release. And it is... definitely one of those great ones that has Batman doing what Batman does well. And I think Robin is in it, but only tangentially. I don't think he's in it that much.
Not very much.
But it is mainly a Batman story. And you have just the fine, you know, animation and the fine storytelling that Paul Dini and Bruce Timm brought to the table. And it was Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
It has one of the great graveyard scenes in it as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've
done it. Hopefully, we'll be in Dark Knight Rises. I'm hoping because they have spy takes out there with a graveyard scene. So hoping to get something kind of like that.
That would be fantastic.
Now I don't know if I've done my hate of Batman Returns justice enough on this show, but I despise every ounce of that movie. I hate that fucking movie.
Batman Returns.
Batman Returns.
Okay.
Did I say Batman Begins?
I don't know.
Batman Returns, I hate Batman Returns. And it's an Aaron thing, and that's fine. I remember seeing that movie, and I was 11 or 12 or whatever when it came out, and thinking, this movie sucks. And then, like, a couple of months or a year or whatever later, Mask of the Phantasm came out, and it blew my mind. It's just like, why the hell is this stupid cartoon so much better than the thing with Danny DeVito and Michelle Pfeiffer and so on and so forth? Mm. And I love that movie. I mean, I love Mask of the Phantasm. I did see it in the theater. I've owned it so many times on DVD and Blu-ray and videotape and all that stuff. It's a wonderful thing. And yeah, I love Batman the Animated Series, and I love Mask of the Phantasm.
Yep.
So that was my number five as well. So what's your number five, Vin?
Number five. Are you ready for this one?
Knock it out.
Batman Returns.
Okay. That's fine. I hate Batman Returns, but it's something, you know, that doesn't mean that people who don't suck, I just hate it.
I'm not a fan of Danny DeVito's Penguin.
I don't think anybody really is.
But yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman I thought was excellent. I really did.
It was just fine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the whole ballroom scene with her as Selina Kyle and Keaton as Bruce Wayne, I just thought was perfect. How they were talking while dancing and all this. And
Well, I do know.
I watched it more as for Batman and Catwoman more than anything to do with Penguin.
Or Max Schreck, Christopher Walken.
I think my problem is...
I cringe about when I watch it, but there's a lot more that I enjoy about it than when I cringe, I guess.
See,
you'd say.
My thing about that movie is people talk about it, and what I find is most people don't have a lot of good things to say about it, but what they do say good about it is about Catwoman.
Yeah.
And she was not awful. But I think that once we get Anne Hathaway as Catwoman, this movie's going to be erased.
And I think my problem with Batman Returns sort of stems from it's too much Tim Burton for me.
And it's too dark. Like cinematography wise, too dark.
And I remember watching it at home with my dad, and him actually fast forwarding through the scenes with the Penguin, and it made it a much better movie.
Yeah.
Literally didn't change much.
Yeah, it doesn't really. I mean, they were. Yeah, and that's when we get into this problem that's still persistent. Too many goddamn villains.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was. You know. I mean, when it comes down to it, Max Schreck was a bigger villain than Penguin.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And
sure.
There weren't any action figures of him.
No.
See, and I despise Batman Returns, and I would, if I couldn't come up with 10 movies for this list, I would have refused. I would have not put Batman. I hate this movie, and it's a me thing, and it's probably more due to me than the movie. But I don't particularly like Tim Burton, and I love everything that Danny DeVito does except for this, and so I almost felt betrayed by it.
You're right.
So I mean, I'm sorry, but you know, I'm really glad you like it. I'm sincerely really glad that you like it. I just didn't.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great scenes as well that I, you know, iconic scenes, especially when Bruce's. I mean, granted, yeah, he should be, you know, out in the city at night instead of sitting in a big library room.
Yeah, waiting for the...
But I liked it. I thought that was pretty neat. And then the scene was...
That was a nice character entrance.
Yeah, it was, you know, there were some scenes just like that that I really enjoyed. I thought the score was pretty good.
Danny Elfman's awesome.
Yeah, the score was great. There was a few things that kind of bothered me, though, with the whole... You know, Penguin and his parents just like throwing him into a river.
And it was Pee Wee Herman and Helena Bonham Carter, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Played his parents.
Yeah,
pretty sure it was Pee Wee Herman and Helena Bonham Carter.
And then, you know, the whole spitting out Venom just was like, oh, come on. It was just not Penguin at all. So,
yeah.
That's why I said I just watched it mainly, you know, because of, you know, for Catwoman and that. And that's it.
Excuse me. Yeah, I think that was probably one of the first times I remember preferring the Batman, the campy Adam West Batman, a villain from that to the villain on screen. I would have gladly taken Burgess Meredith over Danny DeVito in that movie.
Burgess Meredith was an absolutely wonderful Penguin. Absolutely wonderful.
He really was.
So, yeah, cool. I mean, more power to you, dude. It's just, I don't agree with you, but that doesn't make you wrong. So... But yeah, okay, so Ethan, that would bring us back to your number four, right?
Yep, my number four is still animated.
Okay.
Is Batman Beyond Return of the Joker.
Motherfucker, that's my number four too.
Got nothing. We're too much in sync tonight.
I guess.
But you know, Batman Beyond Return of the Joker. Batman Beyond was one of those shows that I was really worried about it when they announced it. I was like, oh, got Batman in the future? What? Oh, come on. But, it turned out to be an awesome show. And then they did this movie, Batman Beyond Return of the Joker, and they were obviously bringing back this iconic villain.
And, you know, you're thinking, oh, this is going to be stupid.
Yeah, it's like, okay, this is the Flintstones meet the Jetsons type of stupidity, and... Boy was it not, yes. And I'm sort of with Aaron. I sort of prefer the regular ending as opposed to the uncut ending.
Thank you.
I think it's a bit more horrific.
Thank you. Because I thought I was completely alone with that. And because what he's talking about, you're aware that there's two cuts of that, right, Vin?
I was not.
Yeah, there was an original
cut.
In the one that you saw, how did the Joker die? Originally, how did the Joker die? Like when? Okay, there's. Well, first, First off, there was a whole bunch of changes in it. But the major change was pretty much how the Joker died in the past, meaning like when he died in the times of Batman the Animated Series. And in the original cut of the movie, there was the whole thing with them doing what they did to Tim Drake and, you know, torturing him and whatnot. And the Joker, you know, beat up Batman and he had him down and he was trying to talk Tim Drake into killing him. And he gave him, and in both versions, he gives him a gun and he says, you know, finish him off, Little J or whatever his name was. And in the original cut, he goes and he pushes him into, he just pushes him and he goes and he hits up against it's like a water bottle.
Yeah.
This water bottle thing, and it breaks this water bottle, and he's in these electrical wires, and he goes to get up to go kick his ass because, like, you know, you little punk. And when he gets up, he throws a switch on this on the electrical doohickey, and there's an off screen shot, and just like the most blood curdling scream you've ever heard, and you know that's what killed him. And in the original version, the unrated version, everything goes down the same, only he gives him that gun, and he shoots Joker with the flag, and he falls down on it. He's like, that wasn't funny. And me, personally, I prefer the electrocution, and it's it's the rated version.
Yeah.
I thought it was more horrific. But, yeah, no, it's a wonderful movie. And, yeah, check that is...
I actually have it on Blu-ray, so I will check it out again. For some reason, Batman Beyond was just one thing I could not get into.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just really couldn't get into seeing another Batman that's not Bruce Wayne.
Sure.
That's just me personally.
Yeah.
I do have it, but it's been a while since I bought it recently actually on Blu-ray. Yeah, I just haven't gotten a chance to watch it again.
Now, for the most part,
I will.
For the most part, I agree with you, but the things that I liked in Batman Beyond were the throwbacks to Batman the Animated Series. Just the little lines that, like, holy God, I want to know that story. And they
I see you, like Barbara Gordon saying, I see you patched up the bullet holes and things like that, that would sort of give the fans a little nod here and there, and you just want to know more.
What about the episode with Bane? God damn.
Oh, yeah.
That was horrifying.
Yeah. or even the episode
Mr. Freeze?
Yes.
That was a good one, too.
Mr. Freeze, yes.
That was actually a really good one.
That was an excellent episode.
I didn't like the Ra's al Ghul one because I do not believe he would kill Talia. I don't believe it.
Sure.
Yeah, I remember that one.
See, I do not believe
that was
he would.
Actually, pretty creepy.
I don't believe that he would kill Talia. I can't bring myself to believe that, but I'm probably wrong. But no, I like Batman Begins, and I completely understand what you're saying. But I love The Return of the Joker. Very good movie.
Yep.
Yeah. So I guess that brings us to your number four now, Vin.
Okay. My number four is actually Batman: Mask of the Phantasm. It's just excellent film.
Oh yeah.
Joker was great. It was just to me. Still to this day, I mean, we'll see in October when Batman Year One comes out.
Yeah.
But to this day, it's still the number one animated comic book film out there, in my opinion. I mean, there's people who rate that up there in just regular comic book films on the major sites that I've read on, you know, IGN. You know, they rated it in their top 10 I've seen.
Oh, sure.
Just overall for a comic book film, so... The impact that movie had was just phenomenal. And like you said, you know, a lot of people do like it more than Batman Returns. For me, Mask of the Phantasm.
I think it's an absolutely wonderful movie, and I can't speak highly enough about it.
The graveyard scene, you know, that was powerful. There was just a lot of powerful scenes, and how Bruce is trying to fall in love, pretty much does. It was just excellent. It really was. I really didn't see, you know, the one thing I like what Bruce Timm and Paul Dini did was they didn't, you know, cater to all the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They did cater to them a little.
A little bit, but not like...
But that's you know, commendable.
But Joel did.
I think essentially what they did is they were making stories that they would want to see. And I think that was the trick is... You know, they're making stuff that, yes, we have to put action in it because you have to make the kids enjoy it, but we have to write this well enough that, you know, things happen that maybe kids aren't going to catch, but the adults will see. And that yep. that's what made that whole series, not only that movie, great.
Yeah, I agree.
So I guess that brings us down to your number three now, Ethan.
My number three is getting into live action. It's the Batman Begins.
Batman Begins.
Yeah, I mean, you had Chris Nolan come in off of doing some very great films. I mean, Memento is an awesome movie, and then comes in and does this British director who has done these sort of
weird crime films
and sort of weird movies in general. Comes in and says, all right, well, he's going to do a Batman movie. And I remember going, what?
Okay. I wasn't very excited about it when I first heard about it.
And, well, I still remembered Batman and Robin. I was like, okay, well, obviously they need to, they're not going this route. They're going to do something new. And I was curious to see what they were going to do, obviously. And they took a character and firmly planted him into a universe that you could believe, and it was Batman, and it was Batman. I mean, the movie has some faults to it.
Mm-hmm.
In my eyes, it has some faults in the way that it's cut as far as action sequences are kind of
the Dark Knight's got the same problem,
yeah.
dude.
I agree.
It's the way that Christopher Nolan does action.
But you sort of have to take yourself out of it, saying, well, it's not really an action film.
No, it isn't.
It's not supposed to be.
It's a character piece.
Exactly. It's a character piece. It's an examination of a character, of a psyche that is obviously quite fractured. I mean, he dresses up as a bat. And you don't get to see the Batman suit. Bale in the Batman suit for like an hour into the movie,
which is so brave.
Which is incredibly brave. And what the movie managed to do is too often is you have with a superhero movie is you have it's the first movie is about the origin, it's about the character, but then it's about the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly these superhero movies, that's what they're about, and that gets even more so with sequels. This movie did a good job of keeping it about Batman. It's like, yes, there was this villain, but this villain supplemented Batman and sort of was the different side of this coin. And it was an excellent choice in Ra's al Ghul, or Ra's al Ghul, whatever you want to say.
I agree.
And it just absolutely floored me when I saw it. And I was like, this is what we need out of a Batman movie. This is perfect for what this needed to be.
And I agree. I think it's an absolutely beautiful, wonderful film. I love that movie.
It has some of the outlandish things that you expect from a quote-unquote comic book movie, but without making it feel like a comic book movie.
It doesn't insult the audience.
Exactly.
It treats you like you're intelligent.
Yes. So Batman Begins, my number three.
Fucking love Batman Begins. So good choice. Good choice. What's your number three, Vin?
Batman 89. My number three.
Okay.
And it's, for me, I mean, that's the movie I grew up on.
Sure.
Granted, I wasn't old enough when it came out, but I was there. It's just, for me, I throw everything out when I'm watching it. I know a lot of people are like, oh, the Joker didn't kill his parents.
Right.
See, when I'm watching it for just, I pretty much just let all of that go.
It's my number nine. So, I mean, I love the original Batman movie just for what it was and
exactly.
what it did to for Batman.
It was the first dark, Batman film out there. I just loved everything, mm-hmm. about it. Jack Nicholson was great. Keaton did an excellent job. The Batmobile was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Just how dark Gotham looked was.
I really enjoyed how that movie didn't really waste its time with the origin. It just was, Batman is here. Yeah, this is sort of fill in the blanks as the movie goes along, how he came about. But when the movie starts, Batman is established. Batman exists. Batman is in Gotham done.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, Burton really didn't, how I look at it is he really didn't care too much about Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He cared more just about Batman.
Right. And well, people go see Batman, Batman, right.
And goddamn do I not want to turn this into an argument, but I did not put this on my list either. I don't hate this movie at all, but I do find it incredibly overrated. I don't know how long it's been since you guys have watched it. I watched it maybe a month or two ago, and holy shit, is that movie dated. The music, the clothes, the hair, the costumes, the effects, and it's, what, 20, 3-4 years old.
Yeah.
And it's I think that that's kind of unacceptable in a Batman movie. People like to talk about what it did for the superhero genre, and I don't know that I agree that it did that much. I mean, because Superman did it already.
Sure.
I mean, it already did, you know, it made the superhero movie a viable, serious thing. And that's great. And don't get me wrong.
Well, by the time Batman came out, that was not the case anymore.
But yeah, and it wasn't. Now, this movie did have its effects on, you know, comic book movies and films in general. I don't know if it's a positive thing, because that might be the movie why we see so many goddamn fucking villains in movies now, because Jack Nicholson was that great.
Sure.
And it also did a horrible thing. That movie is the reason why all the actors are now fighting for cuts of the percentages and stuff.
Sure.
Because Jack Nicholson did that movie, I think it might have been for $8-10 million, something like that. And like 7% of the profits, and the motherfucker made like $200 million off of this movie
right.
alone.
You know what?
What?
He's going to be making more money now because Hot Toys just released Joker 89 statue.
Nice. Oh, yeah? So, you know,
more power to him.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, you know, good for him. And I think it's a fine movie, and there's nothing bad about it. I wasn't a huge fan of it when it came out, but now I watch it and I'm like, God damn, this looks like a 24-year-old movie. And I don't know how acceptable that is for a Batman movie.
Sure.
I don't know if we'll be watching Batman Begins in, you know, 15 years and saying, oh my God, does this look dated? We might, but
we have no idea at this point.
But boy,
when we're jacking movies into our brains or something in 20
it's like,
years.
Holy crap, we actually have to point our head at the screen. How gauche.
We have to use our eyes?
Jeez.
Crap,
baby's
man.
Toy.
Yes.
But yeah, no, it's a fine movie, but you know, those are my criticisms of it. But I thought Michael Keaton was awesome. And you nailed it when you said that Tim Burton acted like, you know, you didn't care about Bruce Wayne, and that's absolutely true.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a bad thing because
yeah.
it's very bad.
That's a bad
that's
thing.
That's a big negative on Burton is he just did not care about Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Didn't care about his struggles. It was more Batman, here you go. Batman saving this person. It wasn't nothing. Really, you didn't feel for him at all.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You didn't feel for Bruce Wayne like you do in Nolan films at all. I mean, that's the one I'm going to get into it, you know, on my top two. But, you know, what Nolan does for Bruce Wayne is just absolutely great.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I 100% agree. Are we on to my number three now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things we've been talking about is like the enormity of the range of all these movies. You have everything from the wacky serials to like the very, very, very serious Batman Begins. I'm gonna grab a movie that I feel actually kind of showcases this. I picked Batman Gotham Knight. I thought that was cool. I know you hated it.
I couldn't stand it.
I thought it was cool.
I was not a fan of it.
I thought it was cool. Because I like the idea that, well, first off, was there three or four stories?
Four, I believe.
And you know what? I'll tell you that I think the Legends of the Dark Knight, the animated series, like episode probably did it better.
Yeah.
Where they show stories of the Batman from different perspectives.
Sure.
But I like the way that, first off, I thought Deadshot was awesome in it.
Oh, I agree with you.
That was a good episode. That was a good one.
That was a good one. I did not like any of the others.
I didn't need to like it. Because I was, you know, I really felt like a participant in the story versus just a viewer, you know, because I was seeing like these different perspectives of Batman, and it made me think about the idea that maybe I view Batman differently than Ethan does, or Vin does, or my dog does.
Actually, it was in six anime-inspired short films.
But I thought it was cool, and, you know, I'm not going to argue about it, because because I do think that you're right. I did think that some of the stories lacked. I liked a lot of the animation styles, and I also... I liked the idea behind it a lot better than the execution, and that's why I'm going to give it a high mark on here. So that's why it's my number three.
Yeah, not one of my personal favorites at all. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And it just, and I know it was supposed to sort of fill the gap between
I don't even remember
Batman
that.
Begins, Dark Knight
don't even
type
remember
of
that.
Thing.
And don't even remember that. About
yeah.
It. I just remember that whole perspective of the different takes on Batman, and I thought that was neat, and I certainly thought it was brave and different, and that goes a long way with me. So that's my number three.
All right, well, I guess we're
so
on.
Suck
a...
it is day. I still can't fully get through it. My eyes start to shut like halfway into it. I just,
you know, and about the same thing happens to me too. So
that shot was good.
I thought it was neat.
The rest is just gonna do it.
I thought it was neat, so whatever.
Well, my number two is, the follow-up. It's The Dark Knight with the multi-million dollar, huge grossing, critically acclaimed film that it was. Dark Knight, whereas Batman Begins sort of gave you this Batman in a realistic style universe that seemed to fit. Dark Knight decided to take him and really...
Throw him in a Michael Mann movie.
It decided instead of make. I found myself watching this movie going and thinking to myself, saying, well, this is not a Batman movie, quote unquote. This is a crime movie that just happens to have Batman in it.
And I lamented that because it was such a great movie.
And that was so refreshing and so just absolutely awesome to figure that out and going, this isn't a Batman movie.
The Dark Knight's my number seven, by the way.
All right. But this decided to take Batman and even make this universe seem more like what it's supposed to be. And yes, it's a movie. Like I said, with sequels, is you have the problem of it just being about the villain. Well, this one is about the villain, but it in that way, it's more about Batman. It doesn't seem like, okay, well, we have the Batman character, let's throw the Joker at him. We'll have a movie. It was, no, let's bring this character and make him matter to the story. Make him matter to Batman as a character.
Same thing with Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
He fit. Yep. And man, does it irritate me to no end people criticizing Harvey Dent in that movie.
I thought he
was awesome. I loved
it. Aaron Eckhart does it.
Yes, he was.
It wasn't even that. I loved the brief, abbreviated, tragic story of Harvey Dent instead of the whole drawn-out thing like we have in the comic books or the animated series or all that. It isn't as tragic to me if it happens over a long stretch of time.
And
to me, the fact that the Joker won, that's a tragedy of that movie.
And unfortunately, with other Batman movies, is you have with multiple villains, where you go, oh, crap, they have more than one villain, Whereas it seems like, oh, they have Batman, and it's like, hey, well, the studio wants to cram in more villains, so we'll put Two-Face and Riddler, and we'll put, let's do Bane and all these people in the movie. This one, it just felt organic, and the story was so well done and so well put together that it just fit. They complemented each other. It was not, didn't feel like, oh, it looks like they shoehorned in, Harvey Dent. They shoehorned in the Joker. It's like, no. This all is part of this overall overarching story that...
Shit, they shoehorned in Batman.
Yeah.
Really?
Pretty much, yeah.
But that's what Batman is. Like he's shoehorned.
You're watching this absolute great, tense, intellectual crime thriller that just happens to have Batman in it,
And I lamented that because I thought that was such an amazing movie, and
it was a great achievement.
No accolades because fucking Batman
was
in it.
Fit perfectly.
Oh yeah, such a great achievement. Such a great achievement.
I think that I do think that Heath Ledger's Joker is one of the greatest performances of the last probably 30 years. I mean, it's that amazing of a performance.
And I remember sitting there watching the movie and the credits are rolling, and one of my friends turns to me and says, is there anything after the credits? And I just said, there doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
And there wasn't, obviously. And it was one of those, because that's a thing now for a lot of movies, to say, let's have a little tag for the fans. This one didn't do it because it didn't need it.
Nope.
It wrapped everything up at the right
they
there,
could not
and it was
make
done.
The Dark Knight Rises, and I think that story would be complete.
Yeah.
But, I'm never going to say no to more Christopher Nolan Batman. Ever.
Oh, hell
ever,
no.
Ever,
fuck
ever.
No. No. So that is my number two.
A wonderful movie. Wonderful movie. It's my number seven. Vin, what's your number two?
We're going to stay on a Dark Knight. That is my number two. Everything, was just perfect about it. I felt the story was mainly about Harvey Dent and Batman coming into, becoming in. Not like a rookie Batman like he was in Begins.
I made a mistake, and Ethan made a mistake, and you're starting to make a mistake, but I'm going to correct it, and we've done it on the show before. Let us not count Gordon out of that. He was every bit as important to that story as him. When we did our Batman show last time, I was listening to it, and I thought about it. I'm like, God damn it, we left Gordon out. He is so important to that movie.
He is such an integral part of the Batman mythos, and he's often overlooked as this trivial character. But in the Nolan stuff in Dark Knight, he is pivotal. He is there for a reason.
It's like in Year One.
Yeah.
I love Gordon in Year One. And I could see the Gary Oldman Gordon be that year one Gordon, the kick-ass Vietnam vet Gordon.
Sure.
So I'm not trying to step all over you.
Well, no, that's why Nolan doesn't need, you know, his films doesn't need Robin.
Right.
Because Gordon is, you know, pretty much Batman's sidekick in these movies, just like he is in the comics, you know, like in the year one, the Long Halloween, you know, but going back to, you know, Dark Knight, you know, the story is pretty much how, when everybody asks me, you know, what's it about, I say, it's, you know, pretty much the rise and fall of Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
With, you know, and everyone's like, well, you know, the Joker is, yeah, the Joker's the main character, well, one of the main characters, yeah, Heath Ledger, his win, not before it. But the Joker fits in perfectly because he cuts in and out of the film. You don't know when he's going to appear. You know, he's just creating chaos throughout the whole movie. And then you have Harvey Dent, who's just trying to stand up, do the right thing. And in the way, you know, people are like, oh, Batman's a bad guy now. But to me, I look at it as, you know, how, you know, the Joker won, in a way, by bringing down Harvey Dent, making Two-Face, all that. But in a way, Batman's still at the end, and this is how I look at it. He still came out, you know, heroic.
Right. Yeah, but it's true heroism. You know, because you're right. I mean, he's taking the blame. Nobody knows what he did. Nobody knows like the problems that he's taking on himself.
And what the movie ended up doing is, instead of having Batman as a central character in it, it had Batman as an element in the story, and that just worked so well.
And that's, you know, the Dark Knight. I mean, there's Bruce Wayne and, you know, Batman in there, but the Dark Knight, he is that element. You know, he's that hero that Gotham needs, not the one it deserves. I mean, as corny as that sounds, that's what he is.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful iteration of it. So, no, I think it's a great movie.
It's excellent. I mean, and, you know, when people are like, oh, how can you make Batman the bad guy? And I'm like, no, take a look at it. He's taking the blame for somebody else's, you know, murders. And
For that image to not be destroyed, and for that, you know, because if Dent had been implicated in that,
lost his mind completely.
All his work is just
gone.
You know,
I mean, that's a hero. It's not throwing the Joker off a roof. I mean, it's being a hero is, you know, taking the blame for something that you didn't do for the word of a dead man who killed people. I mean, that is true heroism. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. And I think Nolan, you know, going back to Heath Ledger's Joker, I think Nolan and Gordon did a wonderful job in, you know, how portraying the Joker as he was, you know, cutting in and out, not just, you know, cluttering it with Joker's doing this, the backstory on the Joker. He was just the Joker. That's it. It wasn't no Jack Napier or, you know, Red Hood or none of that. It was just, here he is. He's the villain doing what he does and creating chaos, anarchy, all of that.
It's great great that there's no backstory to him. I thought that was so brave.
Yeah, that was huge.
Yeah.
It was huge. And I think if he did have a story, it would have cluttered it in a way. And it was just perfect. It was absolutely perfect how he did that. No complaints at all.
Yeah, I agree.
And then again, I know a lot of people complain about Two-Face didn't have enough runtime. I think, you know, Two-Face did what he needed to do. Yes, he died, but he pretty much killed off the people he wanted to get revenge. So, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, no, I think it's a wonderful movie. Absolutely wonderful movie. We on to your number one?
What was your number two?
My number two? Oh, shit. I haven't hit my number two yet. My number two? Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, I guess I'm going to stay in the animated films a little bit longer. I picked my favorite of the animated films, and it's actually Mask of the Phantasm. Under the Red Hood. I really liked Under the Red Hood. That's a movie that gets way too much crap. I thought that was great movie.
I was a huge fan of Under the Red Hood as well.
It's so good. I like it a little bit more than Mask of the Phantasm. It's just, why do I like it? I don't know. First off, I love the fact that we had Ra's al Ghul in there as a character that wasn't the major villain. I thought that was cool,
right.
Which I think is neat because a lot of times he is that, you know, the element like we were talking about. You know, I mean, he's not the one robbing the banks. He's the one that's causing the impetus for why the banks were going to be robbed in the first place or what have you. I really enjoyed the characterization of Dick Grayson by Neil Patrick Harris. I thought that was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jansen Ackles as Jason Todd. It's also the only Todd I've ever seen. It's only time I've ever seen Jason Todd in a sympathetic light. I've never felt sorry for him in the books. I've never felt sorry for him in any stories I've read, I've seen, but they did it in this movie. And I was very, very surprised about that. What's that?
The ending was excellent. Just showing, you know, Jason Todd at the end, you know, all pumped up, ready to go for time out, you know, as Robin.
And
then someone who doesn't get enough credit is DiMaggio as Joker.
That's exactly what I was about ready to say.
Yeah.
I do not get me wrong. Mark Hamill was iconic as the Joker.
Mm-hmm. But he wouldn't have fit in that
movie. No, he would have been fit. And John DiMaggio was amazing as the Joker. Mm-hmm. He was the perfect Joker for that story. It wasn't a Jack Nicholson impression.
I actually hope he continues.
I do too.
Oh yeah,
I that'd be really cool because that would mean that we would have more in this vein. I mean, it's a little bit more serious than animated series, not quite so much as the live action films.
And I'm totally with you on this one. It's actually my number one.
Is it? I thought it was amazing.
It is a movie that people give it shit all the time. And I'm like, fuck you, people. This movie is absolutely fantastic.
It's your number seven. Yeah, it's
number seven. I feel it pop a lot between this and Master Phantasm a lot.
Yeah, it's so
I know a lot of people give it a shit.
It's so good, you know. Yeah. I mean,
it's invigorating.
Yeah,
you know, because you know that's just what we have to look forward to.
And it has this bad fan backlash of it wasn't Kevin Conroy, it was Bruce Greenwood, and it wasn't Mark Hamill. It's like, well, guys, just because it's not doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah, it's not. It, you know, it's like Harry Potter. They change shit.
Exactly.
And so what?
It's like this. It's like saying, well, Batman Begins sucks because it's Christian Bale and not Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
It's like, or not. It's Christian Bale and not Val Kilmer or Adam West. Yes. Or George Clooney.
It's a separate entity.
It is. And Batman Under the Red Hood is one of those just fantastic adaptations where you have this great story told on multiple levels.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying that, I know, but you have it's a movie that feels like it's in a bigger universe, and mm-hmm. but it's this snippet of the Batman little foray into this Red Hood
mm-hmm.
business here, and where you have Ra's al Ghul, and I love how they
he's off to the side.
He's off to the side, and he just
and he's Jason fucking Isaacs.
Well, and he's Jason Isaacs.
Not Jason Isaacs.
And how he is integrated. How he's part of this story, but not as the antagonist. He's there going, well, he actually has altruistic motives.
Yeah.
For what happened and why he's always been
my favorite Batman villain.
Yeah.
I love Ra's al Ghul, and I love that element about it.
Yeah.
I've heard every stupid fucking complaint about that movie under the book.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is, you know, why did you make Jason Todd a villain? Jason Todd sucks. It should have been Ra's al Ghul. I'm like, fuck you. Did you watch this movie?
Yes.
Because it doesn't work like that.
No.
I mean, Ra's al Ghul.
A lot of people talk to the reason why they hate it is because they just flat out don't like Jason Todd at all.
Right.
That's pretty much it.
I don't like the Joker. I don't want to hang out with him, but I love the Dark Knight, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, it's...
The Jason Todd character has problems.
He's intriguing.
Yes, but, it, you know, done right, done with the right writers behind it, he can be an awesome character and used well.
Now, it has been a while since I've seen it. Didn't it end with a scene in the Batcave with young Jason?
Gosh, it's been, I don't remember.
I want to say it ended with a scene with young Jason.
Sounds right, yeah.
And it was after.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was talking about.
And that was heartbreaking.
Was, that's what I was going to say. It's really emotional. And,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
He's pumped up, he's ready to go, and then it just fades out.
Yeah, it's just, it's a great.
And another good thing, I'm huge on movie scores and score.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And that as well.
Yeah. No, I think it's absolutely wonderful. That's why it's my number two, and apparently it's why it's your number seven and Ethan's number one.
Yep.
So, yeah, No, it's a great movie. It's on instant stream. I'm going to watch it tonight. I was actually planning on it a little bit later. You bought the Blu-ray blind.
I did buy the Blu-ray blind.
Into it cheap.
And I ran into it for $7 at Half Price Bookstore. That's I was so like, fucking oh, this has it. Got to be worth $7.
And if not, I'm sure Aaron will give me $7.
Exactly.
For it,
so I was
it.
Like, fuck, yoink. Yeah. And watched it. It was like, fuck, that was fantastic. I'm not giving this to Aaron. Fuck Aaron.
Yeah, fuck Aaron. He can watch it on Netflix. No, it's a great movie. It's a worthy number one.
Oh, yeah.
What's your number one, Vin?
Batman Begins.
Mine, too.
Phenomenal fucking movie.
I fucking love that movie.
My number one. I mean, Nolan finally got it right by doing the origin story perfectly with Ra's al Ghul. You know, I loved everything about it. I mean, to have Ra's al Ghul be like the father to Bruce Wayne when Bruce Wayne disappears, and then at the end, you know, become the villain that he is. Like when he changes, he turns completely.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, you know, the whole bashing, like you said, with Michael. You know, it's not Michael Keaton at first. You know, I was kind of skeptic at first, but when I watched it, I just almost kind of said to myself, you know, Michael Keaton, who when Christian Bale was Batman. And the great thing I was going on before about was how Nolan did pretty much put Bruce Wayne first and Batman second, which I thought was pretty big.
Yeah.
You know, you see Bruce Wayne struggling with the loss of his parents. You felt for him as a character. And then when he became Batman, you rooted for him completely because you wanted him to kick ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just when Batman 89 returns, where you're just like, yeah, kick ass, Batman, go. And it's more of like, all right, you know, we feel for Bruce Wayne. And then when he puts on the suit, it's like, okay, you know, it's go time. And I thought it was that fun. And I'm hoping that with The Dark Knight Rises, I mean, I really do feel that the story could be even bigger than Batman Begins and The Dark Knight.
Combined, it could be and it should be, and you know, kind of what I want to see with The Dark Knight Rises is I want to see the setting in stone of Batman becoming that element that we keep talking about. You know, like right now he's just like that dude in the shadows, and then you know there's a little bit of talk of the second one with you know, oh come on, you know, you got a better chance of you know winning the lottery than running into him tonight, and you know I just want to see that I want to see that fear of the Batman, you know, through all the citizens of Gotham. And it should be great, but no, yeah, I absolutely agree with you because I love Batman Begins, and I thought I was going to be sitting here by myself picking it as the best Batman movie that's come out because, I mean, do not get me wrong, I think The Dark Knight is a wonderful, amazing, beautiful movie, but I think it's a wonderful, amazing, beautiful crime movie. And, you know, great performances, and, you know, I sung its praises earlier. But I think that Batman Begins is the better Batman movie. I remember after The Dark Knight came out, I think it might have been Entertainment Weekly or one of those magazines. They did a poll of the greatest comic book movies of all time. And the number two was Dark Knight, number one was Iron Man. And the reason, and that was really controversial when it came out, but their reasoning behind it was, you know, and, you know, The Dark Knight was amazing and wonderful and everything, but you wanted to see Batman. And in Iron Man, you didn't care because, you know, there was just that character of, you know, Tony Stark, and you didn't give a crap if he had a suit on or not. And I kind of looked at that and I thought, well, if you're going to say that, then I think that Batman Begins does that better than even Iron Man does it, because it's something that, you know, it does. And there's something that it's pretty, I can't really think of it happening before, but you know, typically when you do the Batman story, you have Bruce Wayne or, you know, or whomever, but you have the guy who he really is and you have Batman. In the Nolan films, there's actually like that third character, because you have Bruce Wayne and then you have Batman, like those two personas that he puts on, but there's really that third guy in between the true Bruce Wayne, you know, the guy that's talking to Lucius or the guy that's talking to Alfred, you know, about, you know, his conquest as Batman. That's something that I've never seen done before, and that's the character to me that's intriguing to watch. And I cannot And, you know, I'm not going to lie and say that the fact that Rachel Gould and Liam Neeson are in this movie do not probably help it get to number one. But the reason that I think this is such a wonderful, amazing Batman movie is because of that characterization of Batman. And I'm not going to pretend that, you know, I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of Christian Bale's Batman. I think it could be done better. But Christian Bale's a fantastic actor. And, you know, he just won an Academy Award for being a fantastic actor. And he's a badass, but, you know, at the same time, it's in the script. I mean, it's in the characterization. Yep. It's in the way that the character was written. You know, and, you know, once again, I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about Cillian Murphy as the Scarecrow. You know, I've heard him called shoehorned in before. Once again, I disagree with that, you know, because, you know, he was the Ra's al Ghul contact in Gotham City when, you know, I think it would have felt a little bit sketchy if Ra's al Ghul just happened to show up in Gotham because Bruce Wayne was there. And that's too small for Ra's al Ghul, especially with Batman in his infancy like that. I don't think Ra's al Ghul would really care too much about Batman so much to go after him for a personal vendetta. So, you know, he was going after Gotham, and he used Crane to do it, and he made Crane look like a frickin' idiot because, you know, And, you know, one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when he got tasered in the face, you know, because, you know, and I like that scene so much because, you know, I love the transition from, you know, like this big, scary dude on the flaming horse. You have nothing to fear but fear itself. And then Rachel tases him. And then he's just a dumbass with a gunny sack on his head, wearing an Armani suit, screaming and running away on a horse.
Right.
And I love that transition and that visual. Ethan's right about the action. But I think it would have been, I mean, this is almost a dumbass thing to say, but I think it would have been a mistake to put good action in the movie. Because it's more realistic
the way it is in the movie.
They're character pieces.
You know, fights are over before you really know that there's a fight.
And that's the way Batman is. You know, Batman doesn't do, you know, capoeira, and he doesn't have a lightsaber.
And you have to sort of take yourself out of it and remind yourself that it's not an action film.
Yeah, and
it's a crime film.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful crime film, and it's my favorite of the Batman movies, and I think I've made that known on the show before, but I'm just trying to make it cemented. Mm-hmm. I love The Batman Begins, and I do think it's a better movie than The Dark Knight. Don't take that to mean The Dark Knight's bad, because it is. You know, Dark Knight's awesome, and all these movies I've talked about are awesome, and I think everyone you guys have brought up has been awesome, except for Batman, you know, Returns, but that's a personal opinion thing. But yeah, no, I love Batman Begins, dude, and I'm glad and proud that you picked that as well, because I don't have to sit here all alone.
It's a great movie.
It is. I was so excited when that movie came out of Blu-ray. Also, I remember that day because, you know, it had come out on HD DVD, and if you remember right, Warner Brothers was on the side of HD DVD.
Yeah,
and the sunk ship. I'm like, fuck you, Batman and Blu-ray. I'm like, woohoo! And it was a great day. It was a great day. But yeah, I love that movie. I love that movie, and it also had that sneak peek of the Dark Knight that was so badass. It was the entire first scene. Oh, so great. But yeah, Batman Begins, easily my favorite Batman movie of all time. So why don't we run down our list and get this over with? Ethan, what's your number 10 and through one?
Well, my number 10 is Batman Forever.
Okay. Actually, it has a soft spot in my heart for that one.
No. My number 8 is Batman.
What's your number 9?
My number 9 is Batman.
Okay.
My number 8 is actually the Batman and Superman World's Finest.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
My number 7 is Batman and Mr. Freeze Sub-Zero.
Yep.
Number 6, Batman. Yeah.
I did like that one quite a bit.
Yeah, talk about doing Mr. Freeze correctly.
You mean like Arnold?
Oh, yeah.
Chill out.
The Batcave Express card or something. Yeah.
The Batman credit card?
Yes.
Never leave home without it.
Exactly. Number 6, Batman Mystery of the Batwoman. Number 5, Batman Mask of the Phantasm. Number 4, Batman Beyond Return of the Joker. Number 3, Batman Begins. Number 2, The Dark Knight. And number 1, Batman Under the Red Hood.
Sweet. You know, I almost thought about putting Epilogue, that Justice League episode with the Batman Begins thing in here, but I couldn't justify it because it's just 22 minutes. So, yeah. But, yeah, cool list.
Watch it 3 times.
Yeah. Was it just one episode or was it 2?
It was just one episode.
Yeah. Damn, that was a good one, though. Okay, but then what's your list?
At number 10, going back to the Batman animated series. Shows. I have The Last Laugh.
Good one.
Then at number 9, I have Nothing to Fear. That's the episode.
That's a great one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With, that's the one where
Thomas Wayne, Scarecrow, you know, the famous line where he's just like, you know, I am vengeance.
Yep.
And then at number...
Wait a minute. That wasn't the one where Batgirl died, was it?
No.
That was a great one, too. Do you remember that one? Where Batman,
yes.
Where Batgirl died and they declared war on Batman, uh-huh. And they got fucking Bane involved. And
yeah.
Damn, that was a good episode.
Yes, it was.
Sorry. But yeah, that one you're talking about is good, too.
Let's see. Let me run down this real quick.
Yep.
I actually have Under the Red Hood at number 8.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I had it at 7, but no, I have it at 8. And animated series, I have Almost Got Him.
Yeah, that's a great one. I threw a rock at him. Yeah, great one.
I threw a rock at him. Yeah, that
Penguin all at the table playing you know, the card game.
That's just that some fantastic storytelling. I love that episode.
It's a real good one.
And then the Two-Face episode, and then I have Batman Returns at number 5, Mask of the Phantasm at number 4, Batman 89 at number 3, The Dark Knight at number 2, and Batman Begins at number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, get into my list, y'all.
Yeah.
All right, my number 10 is Batman and Robin. But the 1949 serial version. Once again, you gotta love the racial slangs going on in there. Then my number 9 is Batman the movie. You know, hand me the shark repellent bat spray. You know, that's a great one. Number 8 is Batman.
Get rid of a bomb.
Yeah, there's just some days you can't get rid of a bomb. My number 8 is Batman and Mr. Freeze, Sub-Zero. My number 7 is The Dark Knight. My number 6 is the 1943 Batman serial. My number 5 is Batman, Mask of the Phantasm. My number 4 is Return of the Joker. Batman Beyond Return of the Joker, excuse me. My number 3 was Batman Gotham Knights. My number 2 was Under the Red Hood. And my number 1 favorite Batman film of all time was Batman Under the Red Hood.
No, it was Batman Begins.
Yeah, it was. Batman Begins Under the Red Hood. Batman Under the Red Hood.
Batman Began Under the Red Hood.
Batman Began Under the Red Hood and Robin. Batman Begins, the wonderful Christopher Nolan film.
Rises. There you go.
Yeah. Dark Knight Rises. I used a time machine. Yeah. But cool. Yeah, good list, guys. I love talking about Batman. I wish I could find a way to always talk about Batman, but then it'd become the Batman Universe podcast, and I don't want that. They do that just fine. They do that just fine on their own. So cool. I guess. Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back with our outro section. And we are back with the outro section. We've had Vin Roberts on tonight, and we've been talking about Batman films as a genre. And I had a blast making this list because it's actually a list I kind of did on our number 0 issue, but it was off the cuff, and I was doing it with somebody that talked back about as well as a fern. So that wasn't a whole lot of fun.
That's true. Yeah.
And I also got to put more thought into it, and it never occurred to me to allow stuff like, you know, Under the Red Hood and whatnot into these folds. So it's a lot more fun this time around. So thank you for being on, Vin. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Yeah, we always like talking Batman on this show. But before we say goodbye, we always give our guests the opportunity to pimp any web presences they might have online. Do you have anything you'd like people to check out? Or
The only thing I would recommend checking out is BatmanNews.com. It's an excellent website.
Did it become the number one most followed Batman Twitter feed? I saw it was really getting really close. Yeah. So it did happen?
It has.
Cool. Congratulations.
Number one. And on Facebook as well. Thank you. It's an excellent site.
So, it is.
I mean, if people want to keep up on the Dark Knight Rises and future Batman films after Dark Knight Rises, BatmanNews.com is, you know, the site.
It is.
It's just, it's straight to it. I mean, you check all the news. There's nothing, you know, nobody's going to, you know, ramble on about themselves.
Good.
That's not naming anyone.
That's what we do on the Red Phone Zone. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just an excellent set to check out. It's, you know, it's straight to the news, so it's nothing holds back pretty much. So.
Nope, I go there daily. So yeah, I mean it's a great site, and I also like it that
no need to search.
Yeah, no need to search. It also pops up on my Facebook even if I don't go there daily. So I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that I find out between that or your feed on Facebook. So it's where I get my Batman news from. So chances are, if you've heard me talk about recent Batman news in the last couple of months, it's been because of this site. So.
And it's BatmanNews.com on Twitter, right?
Yep.
All right, I just followed it.
Yep. It's Batman/news, correct?
Yes, dash news.
Yes. Yeah, Batman-news.
Dashnews.com.
Yep. But yeah, it's a fantastic site. Fantastic site. And yeah, like I said, thanks for being on. If you do something for us, go on over to theredphonezone.com. We have this little thing that we call the Indomitable Order of the Zone of Ruth Oz.
Yep.
Basically what that is it's the Zone of Ruth Oz is, it's the Red Phone Zone's... Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's basically where we hold it's where we hold contests.
Yes. Where we hold in esteem various members of the geek community, mainly multimedia community. We have a comic book dude in there, and then we've also got a
bunch of actors
and filmmakers and whatnot.
Yeah.
Basically, if they are inducted into the Zone of Ruth Oz, they get the privilege and honor of adding fucking to their name somewhere.
Yep.
So, yes, because they are that awesome.
They are that awesome because they've become an adjective into themselves.
Exactly.
Is the idea.
Exactly.
Past winners have been Christopher fucking Lee, Bruce fucking Campbell, Clint fucking Eastwood, Liam fucking Neeson, Kurt fucking Russell, Stan the fucking Man Lee. Yes. Hey, I did it right!
You did it right this time.
I did it right this time. I usually can't say that right. Stan the fucking Man Lee.
No.
And our last winner was Joss Whedon.
Joss fucking Whedon. Who won out at the last
minute. He was the dark horse.
He beat out
Sean Connery by a hair.
Sean Connery, Jeffrey Rush, and...
John Goodman
were the nominees that time, and
who the hell are the nominees this time? I know that we got Morgan Freeman and Gary Oldman, Morgan Freeman, Ian McKellen, and Sigourney Weaver are nominees this time.
And you can go to redphonezone.com, and on the right hand side you can vote there, and we'll be taking that we'll be basically taking that down at some point and
probably at issue 50.
Probably at issue 50. 60. Yeah, so, or 60. Yes, we're going to go back in time. And so, yeah, you know, go on there and vote for who is so awesome that they need to add fucking to their name. And we all know it's going to be a hard one this time. I mean,
this is the hardest one we've ever had. It's annoying. But, yeah. What's happening here? I can barely hear him. Can you hear him?
Turn him up. We're good.
All right. Sorry about that. What were you saying?
No, I said I just placed my vote. It's actually a pretty hard choice.
Isn't it?
With Gary Oldman on it.
Yeah.
Well, he has the Batman connection for this
episode.
He's
got the Batman connection. So does Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, so does Morgan Freeman, though. Yeah.
I actually didn't go with neither one of them.
Oh!
It's tough.
It's a tough one. But yeah,
I went with Sigourney Weaver.
There you go.
Ripley. There you go.
Believe it or
not. Ripley.
You gotta love it. See, I don't vote because the way I see it is if it ever comes down to a tie, that's when I'll cast my vote.
Yeah, and I haven't voted yet.
I just don't.
But yeah, we're encouraging all listeners and all people to go there and
vote
drop
now,
your vote in
vote
there.
Often.
So.
But yeah.
Vote as often as the system will let you vote.
But yeah, once again, thank you very much for being on the show. It's always a blast talking Batman, I do hope that your acting career takes off and you get to be the next Killer Croc or something. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'll throw a rock next time.
You'll throw a rock at him. Yeah, don't throw a rock at Christian Bale.
Yeah, it might not go over so well.
I don't want to be his next victim. So yes. I'll keep my distance.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you very much for being on the show. It was a blast.
Yes, thank you.
But yeah, that thank has you. Been the Red Phone Zone issue. What? 58? 58.
57.
57 or 58?
58. We're 58.
58.
57 just posted, so we're 58.
Yeah, we're number 58. So, until next week, I am... Hey, wait a minute. What are we doing next week? Is that
we're
Buffy?
Having, yeah. We're
oh,
having
shit.
Our
the
ladies.
Women.
The ladies are going to be on the
we're
show.
We're bringing the hen house in, and we're doing the Buffy show. So, that'll be interesting.
As Buffy as we can get it.
As Buffy as we can get it. Are you going to wear pink?
Maybe.
I don't have pink.
I don't have pink either. Don't mention that to Beth. She'll find pink for me to wear.
That's too bad. Get pink for Ethan. But yeah,
and
until...
then I'll ask her to get pink for you.
That's fine. I wear pink. I'm a man. But until next week, I'm Aaron.
I am Ethan.
Let's throw a rock at him.
Yeah.